The title of the sermon is Sunday is Coming. And of course, you know, some of us may be asking, we have about, 52 weeks in a year? How come today is Sunday is Coming? Let's look back for the past week, right? For the events in the Holy Week, for those who are here for the first time who missed last Sunday's sermon. This is the traditional calendar for the events in the Holy Week. Holy Week meaning it starts at the Palm Sunday, a week before Jesus was crucified, the Sunday, and it ends on the Easter Sunday. Right, so these are the events in the Holy Week. So on the Sunday, last Sunday, the Palm Sunday, Jesus had the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. You see the people were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. But on the other hand, Jesus wept when he saw Jerusalem. So we have covered that last sermon. Monday, cleansing of the temple. Tuesday, there were some controversies with the Jewish leaders. And Wednesday, it is a day of rest. Thursday, there was this preparation for Passover, Last Supper, where Jesus washed the disciples' feet and all this. And Friday, it was the trial and crucifixion. And Saturday, Jesus was buried in the tomb still. And Sunday, Jesus raised from the dead. So this is the traditional calendar for the events in the Holy Week for the past 7 days. Now, if you have your Bible with you, may I encourage you to turn to your Bible, Matthew chapter 28. We are going to go through verses 1 to 6. And we are going to go through also chapter 27 in a while later. All right, so let me read to you. Verse 1. After the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Now, very quickly, we look at the time, and we are going to look at some of these first witnesses of the resurrection. And I have three different portions of the scripture taken from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, respectively, that talks about the women. Right? The women actually went very early in the morning, and they have a specific purpose. All right, so Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. At dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. And Luke chapter 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. This is one of the reasons why we no longer observe Sabbath on a Saturday from the old law. It is now, we change, you know, churches today, we observe Sunday service because it is the first day of the week, not the last day of the week. It is because Jesus is risen on a first day of the week, which is Sunday. That is why churches today, we follow that practice, and we meet together on the first day of the week, come together as a family to honor God and to glorify God before we move on with the week. Now, they were having a purpose in mind. They were early. They were expecting to anoint Jesus' dead body with spices and aromatic oils those days. So they had a purpose. They were there early because Jesus was crucified. And, you know, because of the timing, he was dead by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they do not have enough time to prepare his body for proper burial, all right? So they have to stop everything. They cannot proceed further with Jesus' body. All they do is they put it in the tomb for now, and they are going to go early in the morning on Sunday after Sabbath to anoint Jesus' body. So that was the purpose. So they were there in the early morning and they were there expecting a dead body. That's why they asked this question. Right? In Mark chapter 16, verse 3, they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" Ladies, they can't do it. And furthermore, the tomb itself, the stone itself was huge. It was stamped with the seal of the law. It was guarded by the representative of power. Now, if you have your Bible with you, just turn briefly to Matthew chapter 27, verses 65 to 66, just right before chapter 28. Let me read to you. Pilate replied, "Take guards and secure it the best you can." And so they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. All right. So the stone itself was huge. First challenge. It was stamped with the seal of the law. That means you cannot just simply go in and anoint the body. And it was guarded by the representatives of power. The Romans were there. So the girls or the ladies or the women, they have three challenges that they need to overcome. Now today, it so happened that it is also Qingming. All right, for Chinese, it is we observe Qingming. In English, it is also known as a tomb sweeping day. In Chinese, called Qingming Jie, Sao Mu Jie. This is where the family members, they will visit the tomb of ancestors to clean the gravesite. And for Chinese, especially you know those who do not have practiced our Christian faith, they will make rituals offering to ancestors. And this is my grandfather's and grandmother's tomb. Tombstone, all right? We are going to go there next Saturday. All right? So it is a span of 2 weeks. And this is the Chinese culture where we actually go to the site and pay our respect in remembrance of our ancestors. In respect to our ancestors. And for some of us, we may have the experience that we'll be seeing people offering food, offering sacrifices in that sense. And then they will have a prayer session, perhaps. But for Christians, we do have prayer session with our family members who are gathered there. All right. So if you need a certain flow for your own family usage, you can approach me directly, and I'll briefly give you a flow what we can do together as a family. All right. When you have your visitation to the gravesite during Qingming. All right. So these are some of the challenges that we may have, and of course, when we go to the gravesite, we are expecting our ancestors to be there. Right. Whether it's cremation, whether it's a burial, they are supposed to stay there, right? You'll be surprised if, suddenly they appear before you. And our challenges today is that death came about as a penalty of sin. God's vengeance is sealed, and the power of death seems to prevail over us. Now, if you still remember on the Palm Sunday, the people, the crowd, they were crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, Prince of Peace is here. Jesus is our King." And 5 days later, on Good Friday, what did they shout? "Crucify him, crucify him." The reason they cried out, "Crucify him," is because they saw a disfigured Jesus Christ. He was flogged. He was in bad shape. And thinking to themselves, how can this person who claimed himself to be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the King of Israel, be in that state? Is he truly the King? Perhaps the prophets have made a mistake. And perhaps for some of us, we are making the same mistake. How can Jesus, who humbly came to serve the people, to go in obedience to the cross, be truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? So for some of us, we may be still stuck in the darkness. In the darkness, meaning to say from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock on that faithful Good Friday, there was darkness over the land. We may not be able to see a way out of our circumstances. So this may be true for some of us today, that you are still caught in the darkness. It could be some financial challenges that you are facing. It could be some reconciliation that you are required to do with the relationship that you have with God Himself or with the family members. Or some of us, we may be struggling with death. It could be cancer, certain ailments. Brothers and sisters, without Jesus Christ risen from the dead, all this is imminent for each and every one of us. that we are going to face eternal separation when we talk about death. We are going to face God's wrath and His vengeance when the day comes. We are going to continue to be struggled with the power of death. Because if Jesus has not rise from the dead, we are going to face all these challenges. But we thank God that is not a full stop. There is this turn of events as recorded in Matthew chapter 28 verses 2 to 3. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. So we see that there was this turn of events and God in the Bible, He sent earthquakes, He sent angels for these five purposes. All right, to judge rebellion and pride, to reveal His presence and power, to warn a sinful nation, to confirm the sacrifice of Christ, and to deliver His servants. And immediately, right before that, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, you notice that, again, the scripture, upon Jesus' death, it recorded that at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom, the earth shook, and the rocks split. So God again and again used earthquakes coupled with angels to do all these five different purposes. And He is doing the same here, which is to confirm the sacrifice of Christ and that this is not the end. This is not the end. We see that there are two groups of people. One group, the guards that were so afraid of Him that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, yes, they are afraid. Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Two groups of people. One group who are so afraid of the angel because they don't know what it's for. And apparently, the angel did not comfort them. But rather, the angel said to the women, yes, they are afraid, so don't be afraid. And He knows what the women are doing. You are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Two groups of people. The question we need to ask today is that, are you fearful of death? Dying. Whether it is in the spiritual sense, whether it is in the physical sense, are we fearful of death? Perhaps for some of us, we are still young. It won't happen to us. There's still so many years to go. And this morning, I am so thankful that our brother Gideon and the family are here. Because last night, as they traveled back from Singapore back to KL, they were involved in an accident. And the accident is that there was one stone that came crashing into the windshield. And if you notice, later, Brother Gideon has a scar. Has an injury on the face. They barely make it today, but I thank God, for God has protected them. Death can happen anytime. Death can happen to anyone. But for sure, you and I, we have an appointment with death. We can delay it. We cannot outrun it. The time will come for each and every one of us to face death. If you are fearful of death this morning, may I encourage you with these two portions of the scripture that there is a way out. Not to escape our physical death, but to have a restored spiritual life with God Himself. Romans chapter 5 verse 8, for God demonstrates His own love for us in this way. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in Romans chapter 6 verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We die, we are going to experience physical death because of sin. That is the payment for sin in our life. And we truly thank God because sin is not eternal. Sin is not eternal. We want to thank God for that. But the wages of sin, the consequences of sin, That is eternal. Eternal separation from God, whether it is a physical body or in the spiritual form. But we want to thank God because God demonstrated His own love for us that while we don't know Him, we have never heard of Him previously perhaps, He has chosen for Jesus Christ to die 2,000 years ago for you and for me. And I believe none of us here, we are 2,000 years old. While we were still sinners, while we still do not know Jesus, while we still do not know who God is, Jesus Christ has chosen to die for each and every one of us. And because of this declaration, everything that He says, you know, is from the Bible only, ma. Right? There's no basis if you don't believe in the Bible. But we want to thank God because exactly Jesus has proclaimed that He is going to die for all of us and 3 days later come back to life and it happened. That is the confidence that we have to believe every word in the Bible because Jesus said it happened. Jesus said it is going to happen and it happened according to how Jesus proclaimed. And that is why, brothers and sisters, we are here today and we have the Bible and we believe in the Bible that Jesus has risen from the dead and as He promised, He will come back again. Now, for believers who have died, we have this assurance from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 14. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. That includes the people within these 2,000 years, the people that is to come, you and I, if we are to die today, we are going to be with Jesus when He comes again. This is the assurance that we have because Jesus already rose from the dead. So brothers and sisters, it's not that as a Christian, we do not scared of death. When the time comes, you know, it will happen. Some of us, we may be weary, we may be anxious about death, especially those who are, you know, with certain ailments. It could be cancer, terminal stage 4. It could be certain irreversible illnesses that we have. We may experience worry, we may experience anxiousness. But it is simply because Jesus Christ is not here. That Jesus has risen from the dead just as He said. And today we are here to come again and again to be reminded that Jesus is no longer on the cross. And the angel is actually inviting the women to come and see the place where He lay. Now the empty tomb and the rose stone declare this, that the door of the tomb was removed, that death no longer has power over the risen Christ. And it serves as a memorial of Christ's eternal victory over the power of death and sin. The empty tomb and the rose stone is the foundation stone for our faith. If Jesus remains in the tomb, our faith is in vain. Because He is not the way, He is not the life, and He is not the truth. But we thank God because exactly He is risen. Jesus declared that He is the way, He is the life, and He is the truth. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. And from the empty tomb, from the rose stone, rest is provided to you and to me. Rest from our worry. Rest from our anxiousness. Rest from knowing that God is sovereign and that He is in control. That regardless of what's happening in the Middle East and the ripples that is going to touch us one day, we can still rest because of this empty tomb and the rose stone. And lastly, of course, the boundary is appointed that those who believe will end up in a certain place, and those who reject the empty tomb and the rose stone, they will be sent to another place. Now the stone is rolled away. It is not for Jesus to come out, but rather it is for us to see truly that Jesus is risen from the dead. It is not for Jesus to walk out of the tomb, but rather it is for us to look into the tomb, the empty tomb, and declare that Jesus is indeed risen from the dead. So let's come back to the title of this sermon this morning. Sunday is coming. For some of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, Sunday has come for us, or has come to us when we first accepted Jesus Christ. That we now have the hope, the eternal hope in Christ Jesus. Luke chapter 24, verse 5 to 8. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And then they remembered his words. So brothers and sisters, we are here this morning to celebrate the risen Christ. To celebrate that Jesus Christ is no longer in the tomb. Yes, he died. Yes, he was buried. And thank God, he no longer remains in the tomb. And as before, we want to remind you that we have this hope, and prayerfully, as you read the scripture, you will remember of his promises, and that you will remember his blessed word, that he will come back for each and every one of us. And of course, for some of us, is Sunday coming for you? For those of us who have yet to know who Jesus is Sunday coming for you? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 to 28. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. For some of us, we may be looking for a way out. We may be looking to spend eternity with God, but we do not know how. Here in the scripture, it's mentioned that we are destined to die one time. Enough. We are going to live our life here to the fullest for one time. We are going to die one time. And after that, we are going to face the judgment that is to come. And so, Christ Jesus, he was sacrificed one time to take away the sins of many. He has done that. And he is going to appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Now, my grandparents, they accepted Christ. My grandfather died in 1996, and my grandmother, 2003. They lived to the ripe old age of 80 plus years old, and both of them died or went home to the Lord in Sandakan, Sabah. Now, those days, when my grandfather died, I wasn't a believer yet. It was in 1996. I accepted Christ in 1997. Now, it was a time where I don't really understand, or I don't really have the assurance that I'm going to see my grandfather again. They were believers. And after I accepted Christ, I know that this is not goodbye. It is see you again. The time will come when I am going to see them again. Now, I believe most of us here, we have grandparents, we have parents, and perhaps some of them, they have passed on. And for those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, let me assure you that we are going to see them again. It is going to be a reunion among saints. Especially for those family members who have already believed in Jesus Christ, we know that even though we are still here on earth, we are going to be with our deceased grandparents, parents, our ancestors when the time comes. How about those who have yet to believe? Some of the concerns that people have is that, you know, because my grandparents have passed on, they did not believe in Jesus Christ. Can I believe in Jesus Christ? If I believe in Jesus Christ, will I betray them? These are some legit concerns. But think about this. Salvation has to come somewhere. And from what I have seen, from the many testimony that I've seen so far, once the salvation comes to one person in the family, God will not stop there. You'll be able to see that slowly the gospel will spread within the family, and one by one, your family will be saved. So the question is, do we want to forsake those under our care? It could be our generation, our next generation, and our next generation to come, because we are fearful of our ancestors. Would you like to be the one, if you are truly the one and only believer in the family, that blessings of God will come through you into your family so that your generation and your generations to come, they will have the opportunity to surrender their life and proclaim that the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior as well. It has to start somewhere. And for some of us, we are still struggling whether we can be the first one in the family to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. The pressure is going to be real. And for my family, it started with my grandparents. Even though they may have the fear that their parents and their grandparents will be lost forever, but because they think about the generations to come, because they have experienced God's goodness in their life, they have chosen to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And from one, it became two. From two, it became four. And today, for my father's side of the family, there are only two more aunties that have yet to believe in Jesus Christ. There are seven in total. It started with one. God wants to save all of us. For some of us, it can start with us being the first one in the family. Temptation will come to say that we can wait. But how many of us can be sure that we can still be here tomorrow? How many of us can be sure that our family members can still be here tomorrow? How many of us want to be reunited with our family members when the day comes? So for some of us, this could be the day. This could be the Sunday. Because Sunday is coming for you. And in a very brief manner, the ABC of salvation. A, admit that you are a sinner and that you need God's forgiveness. B is believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son who died and rose again for you. And C is to confess and declare that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. Now this is based on Romans chapter 10 verses 9 to 10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So for some of us, we have experienced Sunday when we first accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But perhaps today, for some of us, today is your Sunday. Today is coming for you. Because salvation is open to those who confess and declare that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. And before we can confess and declare, you need to admit that we are sinners and that we need God's forgiveness in our hearts. We need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He died and rose again for each and every one of us. And that you believe this too and that you are willing to confess and declare that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. Would you like to receive the gift of Resurrection Sunday? The cross has sealed our past. Whatever that we have done wrong, whatever that we are doing wrong today, and whatever that we are going to do wrong in the future, the cross has sealed it because our sins are forgiven. And the empty tomb now secured our future. The reunion of saints, the reunion of brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone before us. And the empty tomb has secured our future, knowing that Jesus will come back and we are going to be with Him. Would you like to receive the gift of Resurrection Sunday? Let us pray together. Perhaps there are some of us struggling still. Whether this Jesus is true and truly, this is a legit question. We want to thank God because He has shown us that Jesus is risen from the dead. And even after He has risen, He has spent 40 days interacting with people, up to a number of 500 of them. And after 40 days, He ascended to heaven, and in the same way in the future, He will come back again. If there's any one of us who have yet to experience the Sunday, the resurrected Sunday, the Sunday of the risen Lord Himself, may I invite you to think about it, to experience the peace that God is promising to each and every one of us. If you'd like to pray the prayer and commit and admit that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, knowing that you believe that He is the Son of God and that God has brought Him back to life, and that you are willing to admit of your sinfulness and of your sin, and that you need God's forgiveness. I'm not sure how many of you are there, but if this is you today, if this is what you would like to pray this morning, may I just invite you to just quickly raise up your hand so that we can pray for you. Okay, I see your hands. Is there anyone else who would like to pray this prayer and belong to the family of God this morning? Okay, thank you. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for each and every one of us, that while we still do not know you those days, you have chosen to die on the cross for us. We want to thank you because you have raised Jesus Christ, your Son, to be our Savior, to be our risen Lord. We want to thank you for the few who have raised up their hands to place their trust in you and to call Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray that you will continue to help them to grow in their faith, help them to belong to this church and continue to grow in your word so that we can truly understand who Jesus is and what He has done on the cross for each and every one of us. For the rest of us, Lord, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who have surrendered our life to you in our journey of faith, we want to thank you for each and every one of us who have faithfully pursued you, serving you, growing in the knowledge of the Word of God, and are willing to share of your goodness to the people around. Lord, we pray that even though the disciples scattered when Jesus was crucified, but Lord, you have sent Jesus to reach out to them once again, just as you have reached out to each and every one of us after his resurrection. We pray that, Lord, the Holy Spirit that is in us will continue to guard our hearts, will continue to remind us that we are still in the Holy Spirit, and that serves as a deposit for each and every one of us. And that the Holy Spirit in us will be the power and the source of strength, the source of wisdom in our daily dealings with life, in our struggles, in our worry and anxiousness. Lord, we ask that you will continue to strengthen us with your word and with the Holy Spirit in us, that even after Easter Sunday, we can go out and proclaim that Jesus Christ is risen and Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. So Lord, we want to commit Kuala Lumpur Baptist Church, the Sapak City English congregation, under your hands. That once again, we will rise up to the occasion to bring glory to your name and to proclaim your name to the people around us, so that your blessings will flow into their lives as well. We thank you for calling us your children. We thank you for the privilege to call you our Abba Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.